As we start, let's turn to prayer. Heavenly Father, bless this time. Bless your word. We pray that you would speak to us. Father, we thank you that you are a God of great patience. Lord, when we go in our own strength and when we blow it, Lord, you are faithful. When we struggle, when we try and be clever, when we try and figure things out and do things apart from you, Lord, you do allow the consequences, but you are there to walk with us through them. And we thank you for that. We thank you that we're never alone, that you never leave us or forsake us because of our sin, but you stand with us. So, Father, we're so grateful for that. Bless this time now as we come to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was at Western Washington University, and I was there for 2 years before I went to Emmaus Bible College in Dubuque, Iowa, and one of the things that happened was I spent a lot of time at college being hungry, and we had this commons area that at a certain time of night, it would get locked up. And so I didn't always like the fact that it got locked up. And, you know, all the vending machines were in there. So one night, I was with a bunch of my buddies, and we thought, this is not right. This is not right that we're kept from the candy and the sodas and all the good things that are in there. And we decided, you know what? We need to go from being out here to in there. And so we went around the commons and we found this high window that was open. We weren't trying to cause trouble. We're just trying to get to the food. But as we go in to try and get to the food, we were successful. We got in and we were feeling really proud of ourselves, and we were, oh man, they can't keep us out. Now we'll keep this window open, and we're in there feeling really good. There's a bunch of us, and all of a sudden security comes, and the flashlights are going, and we're digging down, and so everybody scatters, and some people are better at scattering than others. And all of us, but two guys got away clean. But then, as I was getting away, they had called other security guards, and then they called police because they didn't know if it was like a big thing, if somebody had broken in and because we scattered. So the small thing became a big thing. And all of a sudden, the police are around, and I see one of the policemen, and I'm like, hey, what's going on? And when the police tells me what they're doing, I'm like, oh, well, can I help you find them? I was scheming. I was figuring it out. I was trying and so then I'm going there, and I'm running over here, and one of the guys who's about to get caught, I'm like, go out that way, go out that way. And I go to the policeman, I think I heard something over here, and I'm working the system, and I'm trying to, and two of the guys get caught. So then, they're trying to, you know, they're right there, and they're saying, you know, you need to tell us who the rest of the guys are, and they're not sharing. And so, I think, you know what, my conscience is spinning, and so I go to the policeman and I say, hey, I'm with them. And it was pretty humiliating. But it ended up, they found out that it wasn't that big a thing, but we did get in trouble. But I just remember that thought of, I mean, it lasted like 30 minutes of going around and trying to find people and get people hidden, and where I was playing really both sides. And for a while there, I was feeling really, really like, man, I'm getting away. We're going to all get out of this okay. And as we as we come to the story today with David, as we know from weeks past, David has been scheming, hasn't he? He has been pulling a fast one with the king of the Philistines. He's been telling them that they're fighting against different people than they're really fighting against. The king thinks that David is no longer going to be able to be a king of his own people and be able to go back to the Israelites, because the king of the Philistines has been told that David's been fighting for him. And even though David has been fighting against the enemies of the Philistines, they were also the enemies of who? The Israelites. So he could have told the truth and been okay with the king. But he was scheming and scheming. And so the king really trusts him and doesn't know that he's been lied to. And David has been pulling it off and getting away with it. And now, in last week, we heard that Saul went to a witch, a fortune teller, and tried to figure out how to hear from Samuel and call up Samuel and from the dead and find a way out of the problems of being attacked by the Philistines. And he learns that not only is he going to pass in this battle, but his sons will pass too, be killed. And so, I mean, the people of God are in a mess, aren't they? David is busy being under the king of the Philistines and fighting for him, while Saul is going to witchcraft. And so you've got all these people who are trying to figure it out. And when David went to be under the, you know, he'd been chased and chased and chased by Saul, and he was so tired. And he figured the only place that was safe was to go under the king of the Philistines, that Saul, the king of the Israelites, would leave him alone then. But he didn't ask God. He didn't turn to God for counsel. And so here he is, and they're getting ready for this battle. And we come to 1 Samuel 29, starting in verse 1. The Philistines gathered all their forces at Aphek, and Israel camped by the spring in Jezreel. As the Philistine rulers marched with their units of hundreds and thousands, David and his men were marching out at the rear with Achish. And the commanders of the Philistines asked, "What about these Hebrews?" See, they're going to go fight who? The Israelites, Saul. And David is with them. And now, David is, remember, he's scheming, he's figuring it out. He's not going to go against his own people and kill them. But he's got this planned out. And Achish replied, "Is this not David, who was an officer of Saul, king of Israel? He has already been with me for over a year. And from the day he left Saul until now, I have found no fault in him." King Achish is a fool. He's being played. And the other leaders, the commanders, they're saying, "Wait a second, you're going to have this guy in the back, And he's going to be with the king, and we're going to go out and fight, and his men are going to be behind us?" And what do they say? But the Philistine commanders were angry with Achish and said, "Send the man back, that he may return to the place you assigned him. He must not go with us into battle, or he will turn against us during the fight. How better could he regain his master's favor than by taking the heads of our own men?" And guys, this is a play on words. This is a pun here in the original language. Remember, Achish promised to make David his bodyguard. And in the Hebrew language, this means a keeper of the head. To be the bodyguard means to be the keeper of the heads. And the Philistine commanders are sarcastically observing that David might very well regain Saul's favor by keeping their heads instead. And so they understand what's going on. The king may be fooled, but they know what's going on. And so they're saying to the king, no, you can't do this. You don't understand, king. He's going to turn on us. He's going to turn on us. He's not going to fight against his own people. But the king had believed David and been thinking that he'd been doing that already. Verse 5, they even said, Isn't this the David they sang about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. It's interesting that the leaders and the rulers and those in authority, the commanders in the army of the Philistines, have such incredible knowledge about David. And David, for over a year now, has been working for the king of the Philistines. I want you to imagine you've been anointed to be the next king of Israel. And you've just trusted God so much that for over a year, you've been fighting for the king who is the arch enemy of King Saul, your king, and the one you're going to replace. Now, you've been scheming and you've been figuring it out and everything's, but just like when I was working out the system and telling the security guards and the police to go this way and trying to get my friends to go that way, there's this knot in the stomach that starts building up. Because you start seeing one guy get caught, and then you start seeing the plan being found out. And there's that feeling of, oh my, what have I done? What have I done? And the reality starts to set, and your sin is before you. And you start to realize, everything comes to light. Everything has to come to light. Verse 6. So Achish called David and said to him, "As surely as the Lord lives, you have been reliable, and I would be pleased to have you serve with me in the army. From the day you came to me until today, I have found no fault in you, but the rulers don't approve of you. Now turn back and go in peace. Do nothing to displease the Philistine rulers." What are we seeing here about the king? He's afraid of his own rulers and commanders. So often we think of leadership as having all the power, all the answers, all the everything. That with that power comes just the ability to wield it however. Man, for those who are in power, it's a tough place to be. It's a tough place to be. You know, we've got a lot of these commanders that are turning against the king. We've got a lot. You know, it reminds me in some ways of our political system that we've got right now. There's a lot of confusion, and one of the things, guys, that I really want to encourage us to do is, as we come to a challenging time. I mean, if we look around, there's a lot of people who look different than I look, no matter where you look in our church family. Praise God. But it's not just the way we look on the outside. It's the experiences that we've had. It's the different backgrounds. It's all these different things. We're all believers, or most of us are believers. But we all have different understandings. And guys, right now, things are so passionate and so just, and there's so much emotion. And I want to encourage all of us, there's one thing that we can do. There's one thing that we could do in this process as a family of God, and that's respect each other and respect those who think differently than we do. I think it's important to vote, to have to be a part of what's going on, to be involved, to have strong opinions. But in those strong opinions, I want to encourage all of us. Let's treat each other with respect. And we're going to have family members that think differently than we do, that have had different experiences. And I know the Word of God is what we're really, I want to encourage you, as you're looking at your local leaders, at all these different positions, and all the leaders, be thinking about how do we best bring this to the Word of God? How do I make decisions based on what I believe through the Word of God? Not through, and I would encourage us to try and be less focused on how I feel. But boy, I tell you guys, we cannot allow political differences to divide us. We are the family of God. We have a leader who is perfect. We have a leader who is not tainted in any way. We come under the leader, and the leader that we follow is not the leader of this world. It's not the present, the future, the past, presidents, leaders. Our King is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we come under that reign. And I want to encourage us to put our trust not in man, but in God. Be a part of what God has put on your heart. Vote and be passionate, but in your passion, don't be rude. Let's treat each other. And guys, we've got all this multimedia. It is so easy to slam somebody when they're not there. And then it's like, oh, man. So let's not go down those roads, right? Let's not go down those roads. And if we have already, I tell you, we need to be willing to say, you know what, I'm sorry. I have this opinion, but you know what? The way I brought it to you was disrespectful. I'm sorry. That's family being family, isn't it? I mean, we're one of the reasons we step on each other's toes some is because we're closer with each other than other people. It's hardest to live out our faith with family, with our immediate families and with the family of God. And so, you know, we need to be quick to be on each other's side and be with each other and to stand in the truth of the Word of God, but to do it in a way that honors the people around us. All right. So Achish called David and said to him, as surely as the Lord lives. And so what is Achish saying here? He's saying it again, and he says it three separate times of, I trust you, David. You're without fault, David. You're the man, David. Sorry, you can't go fight with us because of these guys. But you've been faithful. And he's just showing how deceived he's been. And something happens in verse 8. And after David has been told by the king of the Philistines all these things about how he's not to go and fight, even though the king doesn't see anything wrong. Now remember, David's been in a pickle because if he goes with him, he's either going to have to fight against his own people, which means he will never rule, or he's going to have to turn and be in a bad position. He could cause some damage, but eventually there's a whole lot more people and he's going to be in real trouble. And he hasn't sought God yet. And so what is happening in God's providence? He's making a way in the midst of David's scheming, in the midst of David not turning to him. God is providing a way for David to get out. And what's David's response? But what have I done? But what have I done? Asked David. What have you found against your servant from the day I came to you until now? Why can't I go and fight against the enemies of my Lord the King? Now, I believe as we look a little bit further and see what happens and see the heart of David and know the heart of David, David's doing another scheme here. Another play on words. Notice he doesn't say, you my king. He says, my Lord the King. Who's his king? Saul. So David, even here, is being clever. God's saying, I'm giving a way out. And David is trying to say, I got it. I got this. And because of that heart
we're going to see here, I'm going to go a little further than I had originally planned. And I felt this morning, I added a few more verses this morning because I felt like rather than just referring to it, which I was going to, it'd be good to read through it. But when you've got the heart of a man, a future king who is, he doesn't know who he is. Sometimes you get so involved in the scheme and the lies and the this and the that, that you start to lose sight of who you are. Remember, David is a man after God's own heart. He's the future king, and he's been dependent on God, and God has brought him. David and Goliath, remember that story? There was no way out. God made a way. Over and over, enemies. Saul and his men chasing David, and time again, God delivers David. David cries out, God, there's no way out of this, and God makes a way. David's about to be caught, and Saul is there, and just as he's about to attack him, Saul hears about the Philistines and has to break off the attack. Over and over and over, God has been faithful. Guys, one of the things that this says to me is it doesn't matter where we are in our Christian walk. You are not so spiritual today that you will not be taken in by the enemy. We all need to be humble before our God. None of us can think, oh, well, I'm good now. I'm wiser now. Well, wiser means being dependent on God, not being self-reliant, not figuring a way through it. To be wise means to love God back. To be in his presence and to enjoy him. My Lord the King. See, David was blind to his identity. He didn't know who he was. He was trying to be clever and be self-reliant instead of becoming a man of prayer and dependence on God. Even as God is delivering him, he's trying to still go back to that. I've got this. I can figure it out. Verse 9. Achish answered, I know that you have been pleasing in my eyes as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the Philistine commanders have said he must not go with us, up with us into battle. Now get up early along with your master's servants who have come with you and leave in the morning as soon as it is light. So David and his men got up early in the morning to go back to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went to Jezreel. You see, something's happened through all of this. As David has relied on himself, he and his men and what they've been doing and where they're at, it's not been in God's will. And so we're going to go a little bit further in the scripture than I'd planned. And I want us to look at this. There are consequences, guys. There are great consequences. When we step outside of faith and when we tell God, I've got this, I can do this myself, and we have areas of blindness, areas where the enemy has gotten a foothold and made it a stronghold, there are consequences. David and his men, 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. What had been happening while they'd been away? Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it and had taken captive the women and all who were in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. It's interesting when you're getting away with it, when the scheming has worked, and you're thinking, this is fantastic, I'm fooling everybody. I'm fooling who I need to fool. Or I'm doing what I need to do. I'm doing what I need to do. Nobody else is going to help me. Nobody else is here to come alongside me. And so I got to take matters into my own hands. And we, as Christians, say, you know what, God? I don't need you here. And then we move forward in our own way, in our own strength. And at some point when we do that, everything comes crashing down. Imagine being with David, being David and his men. And as they're coming forward, as they're marching forward, man, what are they seeing? They see this. It's their own people. Everything's been burnt. Can you imagine walking up? Have you ever been coming home and felt like something was wrong? You knew something was up. You could feel, and then you start seeing things and the smoke's coming out, and as David and his men are coming, the smoke, that's not from fires. That's, looks like it's been burnt down, and then all your loved ones are gone. You don't know what's happened to them. We hear that they're alive. David and his men don't know that. They don't know what's going on. And as they're walking forward, as they're coming into the town, what do they see? They see more and more destruction. And David is exposed as a man who did not trust God. This is the future king. This is the man after God's own heart. And here, not only is David brokenhearted because he's lost his family, but all of a sudden the other men start looking at David differently. Guys, the surest way to experience temporary success and have the cheers of people is to do things that seem good at the time without consulting God. We can win the hearts. If we start saying the politically correct things, if we start saying the things that the world wants to hear, we can get people to follow. My goodness. But when the truth is revealed and it's shown that we're no different than anybody else, that we, in our own strength, have no other, man, all of a sudden, the looks change. And you can just, as the men look at David and they're like, David, where's my wife? Where are my children? Oh, future king, what have you done to us? You brought us, you led us to serve the king of the Philistines, and here we are, and our families are gone. And all of a sudden, David sees the men, and they stop looking at him, and they start looking around. What are they looking for? Rocks, stones. Stones. And we'll go over next week how God delivers. And it's a beautiful story of God's deliverance. But guys, I want us to spend a little time. I think it's healthy to reflect on the consequences of sin. You know, we live in a world that, oh, it's not that big a deal. There is no absolute truth. There's no right or wrong. There's no... God has an absolute truth. It's his word. And when we follow the word of God, there is blessing.
Not it is easy, but there is blessing. We have a way through the storm. We have a way through the maze of pain and misery and discouragement and life. But when we turn away from God, there are consequences. And here's the reality about consequences. When I do things, my consequences don't just affect me. They affect my loved ones. Guys, the choices we make have such an impact not only on us, but the people that are close to us. Husbands, fathers, honor your vows. Honor the commitment that you have made to your bride. Wives, honor the commitments that you have made. Well, Pastor, I'm already divorced. I've never been married and I have children. Honor God right where you're at. Wherever you are at, come before Him and say, God, I need to raise my children in the truth and love of Jesus in His Word. I need to be committed in a church in a way that brings my children not just into the church, but before Christ Himself. I need to start making choices and living in a way that allow my children to say, you know what? I look at my mom. I see how she lives. And it goes with what she tells me. Guys, we can talk to our kids about God all day long. If what we say is different than how we live, they will believe and follow what we do, not what we say. Right? Yeah. And so whether we're a single parent, whether we've got a wonderful marriage, wherever we're at, in family, the decisions we make affect all of those around us. And it's not just in the family, right? At work, in a business. Honor God with how you live. Turn to Him. If you're in a hard situation at work, something's happening, let's get on our knees. Let's pray. Let's spend some time before God in prayer, being dependent upon Him. One of the things we'll see next week is that's exactly where David goes after this. And you know why he goes there? Because he's tried everything else. And he's failed miserably. And he's come to the end and his family is gone. The consequences are before him and he's humbled. And you know what? We don't have to get to that point. That's the last thing I want to end on. David didn't need to come to the point where he and his men, families had been taken away. Their place burned down, where there's nowhere left to go. That's not when you turn to God. You can. And it's a great place to turn to God, but it's not the best place to turn to God. The best place is 10 decisions before that, before you've come and found everything exploded in front of you, falling apart. But wherever you're at in the process, turn to Him in prayer. And what the beautiful part of this is God meets David right there. Right there. God doesn't have this answer for David. David, you've been scheming and scheming and scheming. You're on your own, buddy. You see, that's the heart of man. The heart of God, no. I want to encourage us now, right now. One of the things we've talked about is the preaching time coming to an end at an earlier time so that we can go to God in prayer, that we can have time for testimony. If there's something that God has been
saying to you. And one of the things that I've been let know, somebody that a number of you have let me know, is as we have the time of prayer, we can't often hear the prayer. And so I'm going to go ahead and pass this out to whoever's praying. But I want to encourage you, if there's a testimony, take a minute to share it. This is a time where we get to share with each other. If God has been blessing you, has been teaching you, if you've already had prayers go out and God's answered those prayers, share the blessing of answered prayer. What a testimony. We need those times, don't we? Because God answers prayer. And also, if God is putting it in your heart personally to pray for something specific, now's the time. So we'll have a 5-6 minutes of prayer if we take all that time. And testimony, and then when the time is over, we'll go ahead and close. So I'll just go ahead. Oh, great. Homer's going to pass this. Focused on who we are in the flesh. But there's the truth. And I don't know if you guys can read this. I'm going to have to get closer because my eyes are bad. But it says, who I am in Christ. From John, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians. Here's what God's word says. Who I am in Christ, I'm accepted. I'm a child of God. As a disciple, I am a friend of Jesus Christ. I have been justified. I've been bought with a price and belong to God. I am a member of Christ's body. I have been chosen by God and adopted it as his child. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I am complete in Christ. I am free from condemnation. I am assured that God works for my good in all circumstances. I am free from any condemnation brought against me, and I cannot be separated from the love of God. I have been established, anointed, and seated by God. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am a citizen of heaven. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. Amen. 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 I'll have those on the back table next week. That is the truth of who we are in him. And the enemy will try and do everything to take us away from our real identity. And guys, just like David, we at times, no matter where we're at in our walk, we will struggle with identity at times because we start believing the lies from the enemy, from the flesh, from the world. But God's truth is truth. This is what God's word says we are in him, not in ourselves, but in him. And we can have the assurance that this is true. This is how God sees you as a child of God. Praise God for that. Let's be quick. Guys, when the troubles come, let's be quick to turn to him in the truth of our real identity and not allow the enemy to take us down roads that we, just like Vint was sharing, it's going to be subtle, isn't it? He doesn't hit us with a big hit right away. It's just that, just take a little stroll with me down this path. We don't need to follow the enemy. We don't need to follow his lies. We need to stand on the truth of the word of God, of who we are in Christ Jesus, children of the Most High God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the time of prayers, and Lord, thank you for the testimonies. Lord, thank you that we have a family that can be real with each other, that we don't have to put on masks and act like we have it all together when we don't. Lord, thank you that we've got family that's willing to share how you're moving in their lives to encourage us and challenge us. Lord, may we be convicted by not only the truth of your word, but how these testimonies bring us to the truth of your word. Father, we thank you for each one here. Lord, we pray for a blessing upon our families. Lord, we pray that we pray for a spiritual covering over us, Lord. And Lord, we ask that that this week would be dedicated to you, would be lived for you, that we would honor you in the choices we make. And Lord, as we struggle with things, as things come up, Lord, I pray that our consciences would be moved quicker because of your word, because of the truth of your word, and how we've changed because of that truth. Father, we don't want to be the same tomorrow that we are today. We want to be a little bit more like you, a little more dead to self and alive in Christ. And Lord, we pray that in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Lord, may that scripture define us more this week. Lord, I thank you for each one here. Thank you, Lord, for those who can't be with us today, Lord. Unite us in this family, Lord, so that as we go into community, we could bring your word with us. Lord, we pray for the people in our lives. We pray for the people that Pastor Lyons shared a few weeks ago about getting people on that prayer list. Who are we praying for? Lord, let us not let that list just be put in a drawer and forgotten. May we be intentional about praying for our friends who don't know you, for our family who doesn't know you. Lord, we ask that you would just continue to move in miraculous ways. Thank you for the joy of this family. We're humbled, Lord. We love you. Thank you for giving us a love for each other. Bless us and make us a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys.